starting in chapter 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ of Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of our faith in Christ Jesus and in the love you have for all of the saints. The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up to you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, you have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Do you remember, as a child, listening to nursery rhymes? Some of them were a little frightening, though. Like this one. Three blind mice. Three blind mice. See how they run. See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife, who cut off their tails with a carving knife. Have you ever imagined such a sight? Why would that nursery rhyme be so endearing? But with that picture in mind, then your mother would say, "Sweet dreams, honey." And you're thinking, not going to happen. Then there was this famous Mother Goose rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Come on. Humpty Dumpty. You remembered. Oh, my goodness. Well, there was a book that came out. Gee, I don't know when it did. It was years ago. And in this book, instead of three blind mice, there was three kind mice, who, by the way, did not have their tails cut off. And then there was Humpty Dumpty as well. And in this book, it said, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Humpty Dumpty shouted, "Amen! God can put me together again." How true is that? We should look at life with joy in our hearts, a life bearing fruit in all that we do, in all that we say. A life that can shout amen, for God can put me together again. Some of us have gone through periods in our life that it seems so hopeless, that it can never be fixed. I'm just a wretch. And we forget all about the fact that God can put us together again. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we are set apart for good works, so that we will lead lives worthy of our Lord. Just as Paul had described the church in Colossae. Our hope is not for this world or in this world. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. And Paul shares his hope in Christ to the Colossian believers. Paul is in his letter is stating, look, I understand. I share this love. I am so thankful that you people live this life, that you people have seized the day. That your life is on track to bear fruit. That you call yourselves followers of Christ. Many people have too much activity in their lives with little or no progress. For all the busyness in each of our lives, are you getting anywhere? How many times have you just sat back and just told yourself, look at all the hustle bustle. Look at how busy we are. You know, I got to set the alarm an hour earlier tomorrow because I have so much to do. I got this and this and this and this. And I just say, I probably won't even get a lunch break today. I'm so busy. And at the end of the day, you go home. After the kids are in bed, you sit down. What did I accomplish today? I don't see any progress in my task. Do you think maybe that's because God was not part of your busyness? What I'm talking about here this morning really, really comes in view during the Christmas season. It comes in view so much, so strong. We are so busy. We have so much to do that we forget, or there's very little recognition in our works, in our lives, in our duties, in our society, in our media, there's very little recognition that we're celebrating the birth of Christ. We are so busy. Our society is so hustle bustle. Is there a purpose for it all? You see, purpose gives meaning to our lives. It gives one the ability to say, I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. So the question needs to be asked, are you living or are you just existing? There's a difference. There is a tremendous difference. Living has been defined as vigorous, full of life. Existing is described as just being there. So I asked you this morning, are you living for Christ? Is your Christian life vigorous? Do you just come to church and just exist while you're here and then leave and go on back into your busyness of life? Are you a vigorous Christian or are you an existing Christian? Are you a believer or are you a believer? The difference is, are you a believer? Believer is a verb. A believer calls for action. A believer is being vigorous in your Christian walk. Or are you a believer? Just call yourself a believer. How many are sadly just existing and not truly living life? Many wake up and follow a routine each and every day. They go about their busyness, but they have no real sense of purpose in their lives. Their happiness, their fulfillment of life depends largely on others and on life circumstances. If they were completely honest, they would admit that inside they are empty. They are not filled to the brim of life. Fill me up, Lord. Fill my cup. We can learn to live lives that are full of vigor and livelihood rather than being content with just being or just existing. We need to spend time in the inspired Word of God. That Word gives us three ways to begin to live a glorious life. First and foremost, seize the day. What does that mean? No one wants life to be mediocre. We want to live our lives to be full. We want everything we can get out of every single day. Yet we are wrapped up in deadlines and commitments and problems and priorities. We do not work very hard at seizing the day. So the thing is, what does seizing the day mean? Well, it can mean lots of things. It can mean taking advantage of all these worldly things that come in front of you. How many have heard the phrase, I just had to seize that opportunity? Have you ever heard that phrase used when it comes to Jesus Christ? Now is the time for me to get on my knees and just ask Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior. I just have to seize that opportunity. So often our life is all about worldly things. We spend more time, I think, securing or seizing opportunities for worldly things like, I need that new car. That's a deal I just can't let go. I've wanted a speedboat my whole life. Here's this one that I'm looking at, and I just have to seize the opportunity to get that speedboat. You know, I've been wanting to go to that concert for years and years and years, and I just want to seize the opportunity, even when it affects your time in church. How often do you apply this phrase, seize the opportunity, or seize the day, do you apply to Sunday morning? When you get up Sunday morning, is your attitude is, I can't wait to get to church, I just have to seize the day. I have to learn how I can love more. I have to learn how I can be more like Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. What's the primary purpose of an ink pen? It's to write. A $250, 24-karat gold cross pen, which is the pen to own if you're an executive, by the way. If that pen is out of ink, it's nice to look at, but it's a failure as a pen. It does not fulfill its purpose. When it comes time to endorse a check, I guarantee you will bypass that empty gold ink pen and go to that 29-cent Bic every time. I guarantee you. You see, just like the pen, we all fail unless we know our purpose in life. Paul proclaims this reason for living with these words. In Philippians 3:10, it says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship and sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain resurrection from the dead. Simply put, Paul was saying, I want to live like Jesus Christ. I want to be just like Christ. Should this not be our purpose of living? To be more like Jesus? In order to see each and every day, Paul tells us to forget the past that presses on to our heavenly goal. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So many people seem to be very busy, always in a hurry. They walk fast, they drive fast, they talk fast, and they eat fast. Not every culture is like that. Not everybody in this culture is. But that seems to be the way. Why do you think the term fast food was invented? Because we don't have time to sit down. And to even enhance that thought, they came up with the drive-through. So here's a picture that I had in my mind when I decided to use this as an illustration. And this is based on personal experience, by the way. I'm on my way up north. So I drive through McDonald's right here on the by the exit. The dining room is busy, so I go through the drive-thru, place my order, get the food, throw the basket on the seat, or the bag on the seat next to me. Can't wait for a minute to check and see if the order's right. One of two things happen. I exit McDonald's, make that turn onto the expressway, trying to merge into people that don't want you to merge with. Trying to open the bag and see if the order's there, and it's wrong. Or I can't take the time to go back, so I eat something I don't like. Or you try to merge with people, you're on the expressway, the speed limit's 70, you find yourself going 85 because you're busy getting your hamburger ready that you don't really like. Because you haven't got time? You eat going down the road? By the time I get to Cedar Springs, I'm all done? And the traffic's starting to thin out? And I can relax a little bit? You see what I'm saying? We just don't have time to seize the day today. Richard Twiss, a Lakota Indian, shared this insight. He said this, to the Euro-American, time is quantitative, but to the Native American, it is qualitative. Do we spend more time telling people we're Christians than we do taking time to live as a Christian? Do we take time to understand that the word believer is a verb, calls for action? This thing that Mr. Twiss said was evidenced by an older Native American who was living on a reservation. When asked if he had lived on the reservation all his life, he replied, "Nope, not yet." An insightful answer. For he had a lot of life yet to live with many more experiences to encounter. We have a lot of life yet to live. Each and every day of that life, we need to seize that day for Jesus Christ. God has called us to finish the marathon of life and to finish well. God proclaimed in Isaiah 43, verse 25, "I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and you remember your sins no more." If God can't forget our transgressions, then we should do the same. We should seize the day and forgive ourselves. We can learn from our sins. We can learn from our failures, but do not let them be a yoke around your neck. Live in love and love to live. Live in God's love. 1 Corinthians 13. This is seizing the day. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or vocal or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable and resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, relieves all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So I ask you this morning, is God's love flowing from your life? It should be. And it could be. Allow His love to permeate your very being. Now, you think I left out in the prayer lifting up our request this morning? I did not. I saved it for this moment. Because it demonstrates how we love each other. It demonstrates seizing the day. It demonstrates how we can live like Christ. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious Father, we just thank you so much, Father, for the love that you have given us. We thank you so much, Father, for this lessons that are being taught. And with this love, Father, and through this love, we just lift up Larry as he faces with this surgery this morning. Coming in these next few days, we ask for success. We pray for Bonnie, that she goes through these tests, that they find out what is going on and can get it corrected. We ask for relief of pain for Rainey. We ask for success through this rehab that Jerry is experiencing. And Father, we just ask that each and every one of these people would feel the love that we have for them and the rest of our church family and for all of mankind. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We should allow God's love to permeate your very being. The time we stop loving is the time we stop living. And the time we stop living, then we will only exist. And we will not seize the day. God is not like love. God is love. The scripture states these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest. Greater than faith and greater than hope. Love is part of seizing the day. 1 Corinthians 13:13, faith is the foundation of God's message. Hope is the attitude and the focus. But love is the action. Just like believer, love is a verb. It calls for action. Christians, love always requires action. When faith and hope are in line, you are free to love completely, and then you can truly seize the day. We must learn to stop existing and to start living. It's time. It's time to stop telling God how big our problems are and start telling our problems how big our God is. Amen. Thank you. Because He loves us. He knows love is an action. God is Humpty Dumpty sitting on a wall. God is Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. God was there when Humpty Dumpty said, "Amen." God can put me together again. Let's fight the good life. Let's finish the race. Let's seize the day. And all of God's people said. Amen. Spirit song, closing hymn, please rise.